along with Steve Miller and Deep Purple and Chicago and NWA. They were just inducted into the Hall of Fame in Cleveland, too. That was Rockford's own Cheap Trick on your radio, friend. It's 10:15 on a throwback Thursday. This is your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host, Glenn Klein, along with my tag team partner on these community conversations, Mark Eichhorst. And he is author David Weiss. He wrote the books The Everyday Remember, Holocaust Legacy, and Checkmates, Holocaust Legacy. Please welcome to your radio friend, Mr. David Weiss. Shalom, David.
Shalom.
How are you?
Very good. How are you?
I have no complaints, Dave, but thank you for caring enough to ask. How are you?
Very good.
You're looking good. Now, you live in Milwaukee, yes?
Yes, I do.
How long did it take you to go over here?
It took about an hour. An hour, no traffic.
No traffic.
Nice drive. It's always nice to come to Racine.
When was the last time you were in Racine?
About 3 months ago.
Did you have a Kringle?
Not that time, no, but I have had them.
Favorite Kringle flavor?
Cherry.
Cherry?
Yeah.
You don't hear that much. What's yours, Mr. Racine?
Pecan.
Pecan, me too. Pecan, and I love...
But cherry is a close second, and cherry is a very... well-known favorite of Kringle in around this area, I think.
Stacy, our sales director or manager, on her own birthday, brought an unbelievable Kringle in for her birthday. And I ate way too much of it.
What flavor?
It was a pecan, a pecan cinnamon thing happening.
Okay.
God, was it good.
Another good one is almond macaroon. I really like that, too. That's one of my favorites.
You're a very strange man. Took down the W flag, didn't you?
Yep, between games last night, and it's not back up yet. Got to wait till at least Friday.
Mr. Racine is also Mr. Cub in Racine, and he's got a replica of the W flag that the Cubs fly over Wrigley Field when they win. You got a loser's flag, an L flag?
No, I don't.
Yeah, because you've joined the movement to lose the L flag. If you go on my Facebook, ladies and gentlemen, you will see on my cover picture a banner and a cause celeb that I started. This got to be 10 years ago or more. Lose the L flag. And so they voted in Chicago when the Ricketts took over, the Cubs. They voted and they asked the Cubs fans, do you want to do away with the L flag? And the Cubs fans voted overwhelmingly to keep it. What a bunch of yutzes my fellow Cub fans are. You a baseball fan, David?
I am, but I admit I'm a Brewer fan.
Well, that's okay. I'm a Brewer fan too. I'm not a hater. There's too much hate in the world. You know what I'm saying? If there's people that I love and that I'm close with and they're a fan of that team, then I root for them unless it affects my team. For example, I am a huge hockey fan. Spent 21 years in Tampa. And the Lightning have a great hockey team. And they are in the Eastern Conference Finals starting tomorrow against Pittsburgh. They are in the same division with the Washington Capitals. And the Capitals have a guy named Alexander Ovechkin. You ever heard of him?
Yes.
Guy from Russia. I hate Alexander Ovechkin as a hockey. I don't hate anybody, but I hate Alexander Ovechkin as a hockey player. However, a very good friend of mine, his name is Josh Schiestel. He is an Iraqi and Afghan war hero. Lost an eye in the war. Had 72 surgeries.
Wow.
Really messed up. And spent 4.5 years in Walter Reed. And the Capitals do a lot with the veterans in the nation's capital. So he became a Capitals fan. And so he's a huge Capitals fan. He lives in Tampa now. And because he's a Capitals fan, I wanted to see the Capitals beat the Penguins. But they did not. The Penguins defeated the Capitals.
Maybe next year for him.
You a hockey fan?
Not a hockey fan. With no NHL team in Milwaukee, that's probably the only sport, well, besides NASCAR, that I haven't gotten real big into. But football, baseball, basketball.
All Wisconsin teams?
All Wisconsin teams.
Did you go to college?
I did. I went to Cardinal Stritch University in Milwaukee. So I kind of adopted Marquette as the college basketball team. You know, the Badgers, I watch them. I'm not a huge fan. But when you go to a real small school, you gotta pick a favorite. So that's been Marquette.
You got to adopt a team. Did you grow up in Milwaukee?
I did. My whole life in Milwaukee, right in or around Milwaukee.
So how does a nice Jewish kid from Milwaukee end up writing books about the Holocaust?
Well, my grandparents, all four of my grandparents are Holocaust survivors.
All four were?
All four.
Wow.
My mother's parents were survivors of the concentration camps, and my father's parents were, my father's father was a slave laborer, and my father's mother survived by hiding in several different closets during the war. They were from Czechoslovakia, my father's side Czechoslovakia, my mother's side from Poland.
That's incredible. Did you know about that growing up?
Yes, it was really a big part of growing up, as early as I can remember. I mean, my daughter now is six, and I know by the time I was six, I definitely knew, even by four or five. One of my grandmas would talk about it pretty often, and the others would mention kind of the old country, but they sort of skirted the issue. But I always knew something was kind of going on, and I wanted to know as much as I could sort of early on. And my parents mentioned it and talked about it, and they also were not born in this country. My dad was born in Czechoslovakia, my mom in Belgium. So it was always a big part of my identity.
How did it affect your growing up as a kid?
I was very close to my grandparents, and I really felt a real compassion towards them and what they had been through, and I always just wondered how they could do it, how they could be happy and smile. And sometimes I would kind of forget and just see them as who they were right in front of me, and sometimes I would remember, you know, my grandma saw most of her family killed, you know, right in front of her. My other grandpa escaped from three concentration camps. And it's just hard to imagine being able to do the things they did, go out to the lake and party and have the fun that they did and be able to carry on successful lives as they did. So I remember as a kid just admiring their goals and their task and their dedication to family. And as I got older, I kind of saw it's because they lost all of that. And that's how they put the emphasis on family. So even now, I'm kind of learning a little bit as I think back about why they were the way that they were, how they came.
What did they tell you about humor and how they kept humor or rediscovered humor after that?
Yeah. Well, one of my grandfathers really came out of the Holocaust and just wanted to experience everything in life. He would buy the best steak, the best fruit. He would box. He'd ride motorcycles. He was 85 years old, and he bought a new car and drove it 95 miles an hour just to see if he could. You know, he'd drive northern Wisconsin. He just, after the Holocaust, he was going to live every moment. And he just said he had two birthdays, when he was born and then when he was liberated. And from that day all the way through the displaced person camps, he spent 14 years in Belgium and then to the United States, he never stopped.
What are your grandparents' names?
My mom's grandfather was Jack Grinbaum. His original name was Jakob Grinbaum. My grandma was Genya Grinbaum. And on my father's side, it was Ted and Charlotte Weiss is what they changed their names to, their original names. And I use the original names in the book because those really were their names, were Tibor and Sarlota Weiss.
We're talking with David Weiss. He is the author of The Everyday Remember Holocaust Legacy and Checkmate's Holocaust Legacy. This is Glenn Klein, along with Mark Eichhorst on Community Conversations on WRJN. I saw you on the Sunday morning program on Channel 58, and I was really moved, especially the story about your grandfather's tailor shop. Tell the beautiful humans about that.
Well, when my grandfather came to the United States, he knew that he wanted to work for himself. But obviously, he didn't have any mastery of English. He didn't know any English at all. They'd come in 1961. And by 1966, he owned his own tailor shop. And he looked around at different areas to do this. And he ended up approaching a man. He got rejected from more of the Jewish section of town. He approached a man in Wauwatosa, which is a very German community. There were and still are very, very few Jewish people in Wauwatosa. And he asked the landlord, he said to the landlord, look, it's been vacant for a while. Can I just give me a shot? Just give me 6 months. And he gave him the 6 months. My grandfather was an excellent salesman. That was his first sales job, was getting the lease. And he started this tailor shop there, and the people took to him so well. He put up a diploma he had from the displaced persons camp in Germany because he wanted the customers to think he was German. He didn't want them to think he was Jewish. He spoke seven languages. And in reality, I always think the customers did probably know he was Jewish. and probably figured he was a Holocaust survivor, that they loved him. They were not anti-Semitic. He, of course, with his background, felt that they would be. But this community, he ended up moving to Wauwatosa, and people would come in the store, and if he detected even a small bit of an accent, he would talk to them in that language. He'd talk to them in Italian or French or German or any of the languages that he knew. He'd always get people to sing. He loved making people feel good, and it really was an incredible relationship. His store closed in 1992, and I've gotten, since I wrote the book, you know, several dozen letters with little stories about my grandma and grandpa.
What was the song that he taught you?
My Yiddish Mama was one of those. And
can you regale us with a version of it, please?
Well, he used to sing, "My Yiddish Mama, my Goyish Papa," which was my Jewish mother and my Christian father, because it would kind of upset my grandma. They would kind of needle each other that way. And then at our bar mitzvahs, he'd always sing "Sunrise, Sunset." That was another one of his favorite. But those were the two that if you were in a grocery store, you were somewhere, he very well might break out in one of those songs.
The Racine Theater Guild is doing Fiddler on the Roof, I think starting this weekend.
Right, it is tonight. Oh.
Sunset, or Sunrise, Sunset.
Those are great. That's a really nice view into the sort of the where they came from, their shtetl life before the war.
Why'd you call the books, or the first book, The Everyday Remember Holocaust Legacy?
One of my goals with the books was to keep the Holocaust in people's minds in an important way. So not just on, you know, we just had Yom HaShoah, the Holocaust Remembrance, but to try to come up with a way for people to have it always in their mind and in their actions. Nowadays, we have all these different events that happen. We had a huge catastrophe in Haiti and in Southeast Asia, and it's kind of like we move from horrible thing to horrible thing. And we really need to make sure we have a way to remember the causes of the Holocaust, the awful devastation that happened, the struggle that happened afterwards, and everything else involved with World War II, the entire displacement of the world. So that goal is to remember the Holocaust, and also for specifically my grandparents, the life that they led before, and then to me the really intriguing part of their life was what they did afterwards, how they were able to carry on and what they were able to build.
You mentioned Yom HaShoah, which is the day of Holocaust remembrance in Israel. Mm-hmm. And my wife Dawn and I were in Israel on Yom HaShoah. Mm-hmm. And what happens in Israel, you may know this, David, but literally, the entire country stops for 2 minutes, I believe at noon. And I mean, everybody stops doing everything. If you're driving down a freeway, you pull to the side of the road and you get out of your car for those 2 minutes. And that was really powerful moment. And then, of course, when we were in Jerusalem, we went to Yad Vashem, the Holocaust Museum. And then they have a children's memorial to the 1.5 million children that died in the Holocaust. And it is a very different kind of Holocaust museum. If you've ever been to the one in the nation's capital, or when I lived in Tampa, I went to the one in St. Pete. You see the remnants and the relics of the Holocaust and the evidence of the Holocaust, not at the Children's Museum in Jerusalem. You walk in and it is just a maze of light and gold and glass and crystal. And you just walk through this maze and 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in German, Hebrew, and English, they are just naming the children's names over and over and over again. And the first time I went there by myself, and I walked through that maze hearing the names. And I walked out, and you walk out, and you go from that memorial to genocide, the victims of the genocide, and you see this incredible panoramic view of modern-day Jerusalem. And I was bawling my eyes out. And I turned around, and every single person was weeping as they came out of that. It's one thing for your grandparents to have gone through and survived that, but to think about children going through that kind of stuff. And the legacy to remember the Holocaust is something that the Jewish community has really taken very seriously, in the famous phrase, never again. And yet we see the rise of anti-Semitism all over the world. And we need to do our little part to say this did happen to our people, and we need to support the one nation that is, that stands for the defense of the Jewish people, this nation of Israel.
Yes, absolutely. There's a very close tie-in, and it's nice that the holidays, the commemoration, is always close by on the Hebrew calendar with Yom HaZikaron, commemorating the soldiers who have died in Israeli wars, and with the Israeli Independence Day. Because the three things really are tied together, even though Israel, the idea for Zionism, has always been there and really kicked up in the 1800s, the Holocaust was obviously a huge turning point, and there is an extremely strong connection between the Holocaust and Israel. My grandparents lived in Israel for 3 years from 1949. After surviving the Holocaust, they had to escape Slovakia to get away from communism. They lived in Israel from 1949 to 1952, and my grandfather fixed the Israeli airplanes that were there so that Israel could defend itself. And ironically enough, they were Czechoslovak airplanes that he had originally worked on in the Czechoslovak army. And so their tie, all four of my grandparents' ties to Israel and their feelings about it were very, very strong.
What did your grandparents think about Schindler's List?
You know, my grandparents did not, my grandparents generally did not like a recreation or a movie of the Holocaust. They obviously themselves didn't want to watch it. And they more like documentary. If they were going to watch something, it would be a documentary, and it would usually be a World War II thing, a little bit different than the Holocaust. So it would probably be a different aspect. The camp in Schindler's List, Plaszow, was the one my grandfather escaped from.
Wow.
One of them. So those kind of movies, I think, hit a little bit too close to home, and also there's probably a fictionalized element that they weren't big fans of themselves, but I think for them and generations after, I think it's appreciated that people did learn things from that movie and from others that were done particularly well.
Well, he is David Weiss. He is the author of The Everyday Remember, Holocaust Legacy, and Checkmates, Holocaust Legacy. He lives in Milwaukee. This went by way too fast. Can you come back another time sometime?
I would love to. Thank you for inviting me.
It's amazing to have you. This is Glenn Klein on your radio along with Mark Eichhorst. We've got the great Tom Carco coming up with the modern day news next on WRJN.
Restore lost fuel economy and eliminate rough idle with Lucas Fuel Injector Cleaner. Right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, buy two bottles of Lucas Fuel Injector Cleaner and get one.